Good. Good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson. Yes, listen to Jack Carson, Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 90-year-old Norma Jean Nilsen, Irene Ryan, and yours truly, Del Sharpton. Most of us know good cooking when we taste it, but no one understands the whys or wherefores, the magic secrets that make a dish taste delicious like a good home cook. And those home cooks have high praise for Campbell's vegetable soup. They appreciate the skill with which the beef stock and vegetables are cooked. They like the eager way their families go for this good soup. The looks of satisfaction when plates are empty. That, they say, is the true test of good cooking. Well, serve Campbell's vegetable soup real soon and see if you don't agree. Well, 2 weeks ago, Jack got a threatening telegram saying he had 42 days left. Each day since then, he gets another telegram, and his time is rapidly running out. Now let's look into 22 North Hollywood Lane and see how this is affecting Jack Carson.
You know, Treacher, a little work to keep me busy is all I needed to take my mind off my troubles.
Yes, sir, but why don't you call someone in to fix the radio and not try to do it yourself?
Well, Treacher, those radio repairmen are expensive. Anyway, why should I pay somebody when I can fix it better myself?
Well, I'm only thinking of the last time you attempted to repair it, sir. Mm? Don't you remember you got the wiring crossed and it mixed up all the programs? Mm. I tuned in on Information Please, and I got it pays to be ignorant.
Yes, it was a little confusing.
Well, to say the least, sir. There was a period of 3 weeks when John's other wife was going steady with the Lone Ranger's horse.
Well, I got so I liked the programs better that way. It was more entertaining. Remember that day Bob Hawke was interviewing a woman who had 26 children? Just then a voice came in and said, "Can you top this?" Hand me that pair of pliers, Treacher.
Yes.
Thanks. Wish I knew why this radio makes that peculiar noise all the time.
Oh, a new noise, sir?
Yes, yes. And the worst part of it is you never know when it's going to happen. I'll turn it on and show you.
At your neighborhood theater now, see Lisbeth Scott and Humphrey Bogart together. Lisbeth Scott has everything. She has glamour. She has beauty. She has...
There, you see what I mean?
My word, do you suppose Lisbeth Scott really has all that?
I don't know, you'll have to ask Humphrey, but I want to get the radio fixed. I want to get it fixed so I can hear the next episode of Horace Wedgwood Fights Back.
Yes, sir, you do enjoy that daytime serial, don't you, sir?
Oh, yes, Treacher. Listening to Horace Wedgwood, it does me so much good. You know, Horace is so fearless and brave. Makes me ashamed of myself if I don't fight back like he does. If all these mysterious things were happening to Horace Wedgwood, he wouldn't be frightened. He'd overcome them.
Uncle Jack.
Oh, hello, Tugwell.
Hey, another telegram came for you.
Another well, just forget about it.
Well, it's from that guy who calls himself the Mad One. I read it.
Tugwell, I'm not interested in what it says. I've decided to ignore those ridiculous messages. Whoever is sending them thinks he can frighten me, and I'm not frightened at all. I'm not even curious. What does it say?
It says you got 28 days left.
Well, just tear that one up and throw it away.
Hey, what do you got the radio all apart for?
I'm fixing it.
Uncle Jack, what do you always have to fix things for? Why don't you just let them get broke naturally? Gee, the last time you monkeyed around with the radio, you did something to it.
Well, Mr. Smarty Pants, just what did I do?
Well, I don't know, but you even had Gabriel Heater sounding happy.
Yes, and poor H.V. Keltenborn ended up queen for a day.
This trouble isn't as bad as that. It's a peculiar noise in there, but I think I've got it fixed now. I'll turn it on and see.
So if you feel run down and nervous, why don't you try Zippo, the sunshine vitamin? Zippo gives you zip. Why, you'll have so much vitality, you'll go around saying...
Darn, it must be that connecting wire for the condenser. I'm sure Miss Ryan has some electrical parts in her store. I think I'll run down to her knick-knack nook and get one. Gee, just doing a little work around the house today has made me feel a whole lot better mentally. I've forgotten all my troubles already. Yes, it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day. Are you in, Miss Ryan?
Oh, hello there, Mr. Carson.
Oh, my goodness, I hardly recognized you. You've got a new hairdo, haven't you? Why, Miss Ryan, you look positively wonderful. And how are you feeling?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as can be expected.
Yes, well, I came in to get some electric wire.
I try to keep up appearances, but it's awfully hard because I never really feel well. I might have a smile on my face, but underneath there's a pain in my liver.
Well, that's too bad. I came in to get some electric...
Every time I go to the doctor, there's a new ache in my diagnosis.
Say, I heard of a remedy that might help you, Miss Ryan. It was on the radio. It's called Zippo, the sunshine vitamin.
Oh, don't talk to me about Zippo. I've taken bottles of those. In fact, I think I've taken too many of those sunshine vitamins.
Too many?
Yes. Lately, when I go to bed and turn out the lights, I notice that I glow in the dark.
Well, you better take it easy before you burn out your battery. But that... Speaking of battery, that reminds me, I came in for some electric wire.
I don't see how you can be making jokes all the time, Mr. Carson, receiving all those telegrams that threaten your life.
Oh, they don't bother me. I decided to ignore all of them.
But then there's that dark, mysterious woman you met. You know, a dark woman always means trouble.
You mean Tanya? Oh, no, Miss Ryan. I'm sure she has no connection with those telegrams at all.
You wouldn't be so sure of that if you had read the book I just finished.
What is that?
The hero was a fellow just like you. And he met a girl just like this Tanya. And then one dark night, she murdered him.
She murdered him?
Yes. The book was called The Case of the Long, Flat Actor.
The long, flat actor?
Yes. She ran over him with a steamroller.
Well, that doesn't apply to me anyway. Tanya doesn't even own a steamroller.
Mr. Carson, I hope you won't think that I'm meddling in your affairs, but I took the liberty of giving your name to a friend of mine. He's an insurance man.
Insurance man?
Yes. At a time like this, you should be thinking of providing for Tugwell's future.
Well, but nothing's going to happen to me.
I hope not. But I think you ought to talk to this man anyway. He's coming to your house today.
But I don't really need... Oh, all right. Here's the money for the wiring.
Thank you. I think you'd better put that electrical wire in your pocket so nobody sees it.
Why?
It would be so easy for someone to sneak up behind you and strangle you with it. Goodbye, Mr. Carson.
Goodbye, Miss Ryan. Gee, I don't need any insurance, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Oh, well, when her friend comes to see me, I'll get rid of him politely.
Uncle Jack, you're never going to get all these parts back in the radio the way they were.
Is that so? The last time I fixed it, I got them all back in, didn't I?
Yeah, but anybody could get them back in by using a shovel.
Tugwell, just let me do it my own way, will you please? I'm trying to get it fixed in time to hear the next episode of Horace Wedgwood Fights Back. What's that? Wait a minute.
Oh, well, it's just the door, Uncle Jack.
Well, answer it, but look out first and see who it is.
Okay. It's little Norma Jean from next door.
Oh, stop.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, honey. Come on in.
What are you doing?
I'm fixing the radio.
Do you know how?
Of course I know how. Mechanics are my specialty. I fixed your little dolly, didn't I?
Not very good.
What do you mean, not very good?
Well, it used to sit up and say Mama.
Listen, that dolly sits up just like it used to.
Yes, but every time she tries to say Mama, sawdust comes out of her mouth.
Well, bring the doll back, honey, and I'll make a hole in her head and pour it back in.
Yeah, and we'll throw in a few radio parts, too.
Oh, Mr. Carson, I almost forgot. When I was coming along the walk, a car drove up beside me and a girl handed me this note to give you.
A girl? Was it a dark, beautiful girl?
Yes, and after she gave me the note, she drove away.
Well, that must have been Tanya. Let me see the note. Yes. I'd know that perfume anywhere. I wish she wouldn't always act so strangely. Last week I lost her in the fog, and now she drives up, hands you a note, and disappears again. Gee, this is a mystery.
Who is she?
Oh, she's my dream girl. She's beautiful. And I think she's in love with me.
Gee, that is a mystery.
Yes, I think I know how you mean that, honey. Let's see what she says. My darling Jack, unfortunately, I must go out of town for a few days, but I will see you when I get back. Until then, my heart will be beating only for you, my wonderful Tiger Man. Gee, think of that. She called me her Tiger Man.
Norma Jean, you better get back out of the way in case he wants to swish his tail.
That's what I get for reading it out loud. Anyway, I think it's the nicest Valentine I ever got.
Oh, that reminds me, Mr. Carson. What I really came over for is because you didn't finish teaching me that Valentine song I'm supposed to sing at school.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I really should get back to fixing this radio so I can hear Horace Wedgwood, but I guess we can stop long enough for that. Now, how does that song go again, honey?
Remember, I sing it to a little boy, but you can do his part.
Okay, let's go. I'm a young lovesick lad, so in love with a pretty miss.
When his arms hold my charms, he begins to sing words like this.
My pretty girl, I'm always dreaming of you. My pretty girl, my darling, how I love you.
Promise me you will never leave me. Promise me you will never grieve me. Promise me you will not deceive me.
Yes, my pretty girl, please give me one sweet kiss.
Just one kiss, I won't miss.
Dear, your kiss brings such bliss to my lonely heart. My pretty girl, please be my one and only.
My pretty boy, without you I'd be lonely.
Promise me you will love me ever.
Promise me you will leave me never.
Promise me we'll remain together, oh, my pretty girl.
Oh, my pretty boy.
Oh, my pretty girl. That's really a cute song, honey. Now, I have to get this radio working again, so why don't you and Togwell go upstairs so I can be alone?
Okay, come on, Norma Jean. I'll show you some new stamps I got in my album.
Oh, gosh, the door again. I better look out and see who it is. Oh, it's Del Sharbert. Come on in, Del.
Hello, Jack. I was just going by your house, and I dropped in to see if you'll let me listen to a program on your radio. You see, it's an opera that I wrote myself.
Del, you wrote an opera?
Well, sure, and it's on KXZ right now. I'll switch it on.
Del, what's this opera all about?
Quiet, Jack, it's coming on. I'll explain it to you.
I don't want to say anything.
The heroine's name is Mary Bell, and she's waiting for her husband, Malcolm, to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, here's her opening song.
Malcolm, here I am waiting, Malcolm, stop hesitating, come home to me.
Her husband's been gone 20 years.
I can understand why.
But you see, Malcolm has gone all over these years because he's been searching all over the world to find a soup that's as good as Campbell's vegetables.
I knew this part came in here somewhere.
Well, you know, poor Malcolm didn't know he was wasting his time because there is no other vegetable soup like Campbell's with its fine beef stock and tender garden vegetables. Lots and lots of them, too. 15 different kinds. Luscious tomatoes, young lima beans, green peas, sweet golden corn, and many other favorites.
Yeah, well, I know all of that, Del. Let's get back to the opera.
Oh, all right. The first act opens as Malcolm arrives home. He knocks on the door.
I hear a knock, it must be Malcolm knocking on my door. I hear a knock,
see, Malcolm wants to come inside.
What?
I say Malcolm wants to come inside.
Malcolm doesn't know when he's well off.
Well, Mary Bell knows what her husband's favorite dish is, so before she answers the door, she starts preparing some Campbell's vegetable soup. Listen.
Better answer the door pretty soon, or Malcolm and the soup will both cool off. What happens now, Del?
Well, in the last act, Malcolm is...
Oh, darn it, the radio went dead again. I guess you won't be able to hear the rest of it, Del.
Well, that's all right, Jack. I can tell you how it ends. Mary Bell and her husband lived happily ever after. Malcolm never left home again because, like thousands of other wives, Mary Bell served him big, satisfying bowls of Campbell's vegetable soup. Well, I've got to be going now. Thanks for letting me listen to my opera, Jack.
Oh, it was nothing, Del. I enjoyed every lima bean in it. So long, Del.
From Jack Carson's new picture, Freddie Martin plays Rainy Night in Rio, featuring Stuart Wade and the Martin Men.
Starry sky. Where do they go when they can't go for a walk?
Do they sit home and talk? Or do they sit and sigh? Aye, aye.
Where do they woo on a rainy night in Rio?
Rio.
Where does a gay senorita say, si, maybe the girl wants a tender kiss, and yet,
how tender can you get when you're beneath a wet palm tree?
But what do they do in Mississippi
when skies are drippy?
And what do they do when it's murky
in Albuquerque? And what do they do in Tijuana when they want to snuggle tight? Well, that's what they do in Rio on a rainy night.
But what do they do when skies are dreary
along Lake Erie?
And what do they do when grass is dewy
in old St. Louis? And what do they do in Tallahassee when a lassie says all right? Well, that's what they do in Rio on a rainy night.
You'll ever get the radio fixed?
Well, of course I will, honey. It won't take long now because I've just discovered what's wrong. You see, the neutrodyne and the heterodyne were mixed up with the other dyne, see? That made them coagulate around the wavelength. In other words, it was causing the length to wave too much.
Gee, Mr. Carson, you know everything. I'll bet you're the smartest man in the whole world.
Thanks, honey. Do you, you really think so?
Yes.
If I were this child's mother, I'd worry about her.
That'll do, Rachel. Now, let's see. This wire goes on here.
Mr. Mr. Carson, will you get the radio fixed in time to hear Horace Wedgwood fights back?
Oh, I certainly hope so, honey. I don't want to miss this episode.
You know, Mr. Carson, you're a lot like Horace Wedgwood.
Huh? How do you mean?
Well, you're not afraid of anything either, are you?
No, I'm not. In fact, I think I can truthfully say that hardly a day goes by when I don't have an opportunity to display my indomitable courage.
Yes.
What do you mean, yes? It's true. What's that?
It's the door, sir. Shall I answer it?
No. Horace Wedgwood would never flinch, and neither will I. I'll go. It's a good day for singing a song. Gee, I'm glad my mental attitude has changed. I feel better now than I have in a long, long time.
How do you do?
What was that?
I said, how do you do? My name is Laidlaw.
Laidlaw?
Yes. Miss Ryan sent me here. I represent the Last Mile Insurance Company.
The Last Mile Insurance Company?
Yes. Mr. Carson, in your present position, you should be thinking of your loved ones that you'll be leaving behind.
Behind? But I'm not going anyplace. I'm healthy. I feel great.
Oh, yes, I know. But none of us can tell when the long, bony finger will reach down and snatch us.
Snatch us?
Yes, and my company lends you a comforting hand as you trudge down that last long mile.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. What did you say your name was?
Laidlaw.
How far down? No, I... Get one thing straight, will you? I don't need any of that stuff. I'm big and husky.
Oh, yes. The husky ones linger a little longer, but they go just the same. Now, let me look at you, Mr. Carson. I like to get a clear picture of a client in my mind's eye. Would you mind folding your arms across your chest?
Now, wait a minute. But I was feeling great until you came along, and I want to make it clear to you.
We'll take just a moment to tell you about our policy.
Yeah, well, I told you,
we insure everyone, old and young.
Huh?
We've even provided protection for babies. We call that our three-cornered policy.
What does that cover? I'm not interested.
Well, the one I had in mind for you, Mr. Carson, was a quick policy. You pay all the premiums in one lump sum. Then you are protected in case something happens to you suddenly.
Suddenly?
Yes, quite. You're walking along the street, whistling gaily, and then... Well, it could be a banana peel, a loose brick in a building, or that most deadly of all things, a woman driver with a new Studebaker.
Yes, I see what you mean. Whichever way you jump, you're still in front of it.
Now, if you had time, I could show you a long list of testimonials from our company. Everyone who buys one of our policies is delighted when he dies.
Delighted when he dies? How do you know that?
Well, we've received a few messages from the spirit world.
Oh. Well, does your company give any guarantee?
Guarantee? What do you mean?
Well, in those messages from the spirit world, do they mention anything about the... climate? Look, Mr. Laidlaw, I don't want to go now. I'm so young, and I've got so much to live for. Gosh, I just got to be here when Richard opens that door. Mister, I'm in no mood to talk about this now. Could you go away and come back some other time?
Very well, if you wish. But in the meantime, please remember our slogan. Carry our policies all of your life. And we carry you the rest of the way.
Gee, why did that guy have to come around and bring me way down? Just when I was beginning to feel good, too.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Carson. What's the matter? You look forlorn.
Oh, I don't know, Treacher. I feel sort of depressed, is all. At times like this, I wonder if there's any use in going on.
Oh, come, come, sir. You're just down in the dumps, but there's something that will cheer you up. Huh. I have the radio on. It's just time for your favorite program. Horace Wedgwood Fights Back.
Huh? Oh, yes, I almost forgot about that. This may be just exactly what I need.
I know, sir. I've seen you in a melancholy mood before. But one episode of Horace Wedgwood, and you perk right up again.
Well, it's like a tonic to me, Treacher. Horace shows us all that no matter how rough the going gets, willpower and determination will
and
win...
And now Horace Wedgwood fights back. When we last saw this courageous youth, he was in a terrible predicament. His enemies had imprisoned him in a block of cement.
Gee.
And then he was hung upside down over a tank full of man-eating alligators.
Ah, don't worry, he'll get out of it.
But more of that later, for here is our hero now, Horace Wedgwood.
I can hardly bear this torture any longer.
Ah, he'll come through, I know he will. He always fights back.
The man-eating alligators are coming closer. You're probably wondering how I'm going to get out of this. What I'm going to do.
Oh, Treacher, I'm not worried.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give up. Week after week, I fight my way out of some impossible situation. Well, I can't stand it any longer. I can't take it. I'm going to give up.
Horace! Horace!
Every week, the same thing.
No!
Tigers, lions, earthquakes, quicksand. And I have to be a hero. You all think I'm brave, but I'm not. Do you hear me? I'm just like anybody else. I'm scared to death.
Horace! Horace, what you said!
I'm sick of the whole thing. I don't want to be brave. I don't want to be fearless. I just want him to leave me alone. I'm a coward. Do you hear? A coward. And listen, kids, don't fight back. It's no use fighting. Give up before it's too late.
Horace, no, Horace. Horace. Oh, Horace. Horace. Speak to me, Horace. Say something. Preacher, help me up to bed, will you, please?
Here's a suggestion for you ladies who must plan meals for hefty he-man appetites. Just you sit a man down to a piping hot plate of Campbell's vegetable soup tomorrow and wait till you hear the compliments that come your way. Or be ready to take a bow as soon as he gets the delicious flavor of that homey beef stock and heaps his spoon with those bright garden vegetables. Mmm, good. If he's not too busy eating, he may say something about your good cooking. Maybe you answer, not my vegetable soup, it's Campbell's. Anybody knows that Campbell's tastes every bit as good as homemade. Or maybe you just sit tight and let compliments fall where they will. Either way is perfectly okay. Just be sure to ask your grocer tomorrow for Campbell's vegetable soup, for you'll always want to have plenty on hand.
Mmm, good. Mmm, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Mmm, good.
As Boy Scout Week rolls around again, let's think of this year's theme, Scouts of the World, Building for Tomorrow. For the reestablishment of the Boy Scout movement in war-torn countries is certainly a big step toward world peace and understanding. It can't miss being a better world with its youngsters united in a worldwide brotherhood of scouting. It seems to me it's up to us to do all we can to help boys everywhere to understand and respect each other. So, Let's support our local Boy Scout Council with funds and leadership, shall we? Good night.
Good. That's what Campbell's soups are.
Good. Stay tuned to Dr. Christian, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.